Today, my friends, we are going to start a new parsha. This is the final section of the book of Bamidbar. From Parshas Matot, we move into Parshat Maaseh. The parsha that details our many journeys. Eile Maaseh Bnei Yisrael. These are, says Moshe Rabbeinu, in the final recap of our Exodus. These are the journeys. Asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim. The journeys in which we left the land of Egypt, litzivaysam, by our arrangements, or legions, yad Moshe v'yahare. We left in the hand or leadership of Moshe and Aaron. Vayichtev Moshe. Moshe now writes or transcribes es meitza'ehem l'masa'ehem, the starting points of these journeys. And he does so, these journeys were done al pi Hashem, by virtue of God's instruction, the Eila, and these are Masa'ehem, the journeys, L'meitza'ehem, for or from their starting points. That's how Parshas Maaseh opens. All right? Question. Why are we writing these journeys? Why is it important for us to go through the journeys? If somebody really wants to trace the journeys of the Jewish people, simply open Chumash Bamidbar, and then open a Chumash Shmos, and figure it out by yourself. Why is it important to write exactly who, went, where, when, how? So Ramban says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the details of the journeys for posterity is because so many miracles and wonders unfolded for the Jewish people during that time. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted this to be preserved for posterity. So when future generations will come along and laugh at the notion that the Jewish people left Egypt, and they have, and they'll laugh at the idea that we survived in the desert for 40 generations, or 40 years, pardon me, and they do. So we have the details. We can go back and say, here's exactly where we left from, and here's where we arrived. And then here's where we left afterwards, and here's where we arrived. And in doing so, we're able to establish or cement these miracles and these wonders for posterity. We have the actual record. We have a story. It's history. Here's a story. Here's where we went. Here's where we came. Here's the next place we went to. And that's a good enough reason to write down Masa'ehem, L'meitza'ehem, the details of the journey, the journeys and their starting points, because ultimately the Torah is a document for eternity. And it's important for the Jewish people, on a very literal level, to be able to point back and say, those were our journeys. Here's how we left the land of Egypt. Here's where we sojourned. And here's the way we arrived at the threshold of the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. The Sephardim says that this is in order to broadcast and to make known the merits of the Jewish people. Namely, that the Jewish people have been dragged through the desert for four decades. But then, when you look, it wasn't so bad. There weren't that many journeys. It wasn't as if each and every single day we were picked up and moved from place to the next. And so this, and the very notion that the Jewish people were in a desert without any possibility of growing their own food, or really of even in a reasonable way importing enough food to last them for 40 years, and yet we survived, and we have the numbers, and we know how many people we were, this in and of itself speaks of the merits of the Jewish people. It makes us special. It shows what Hashem did to take care of us. We actually have a holiday in which we celebrate this. The holiday is called Sukkot, and we commemorate these miracles. And Mincha Belulo says something very interesting. He says everything in Torah has to be practical. We have a halacha that when Jewish people come to a place where a miracle happened to them, they have to make a bracha. She'asa li nes b'makim hazeh. God who made a miracle for me in this place. And if you come to a place where a miracle happened for your ancestors, then you have to make a bracha. She'asa la'aveisenu nes b'makim hazeh. A miracle happened for our ancestors at this spot. So Mincha Lula says, should you end up in the Sinai Desert? And we did. And should you know that this place is called by this name or the other, you'll know to make the blessings. They'll say, Baruch she'asol aviseinu neis b'makim hazeh. All of this is drush, it's homily, It's not necessarily in a basic way. And that was all going to set the table or create a background. Now let's go into Pshuta Shalom. So on the most literal of levels, why in heaven do the details have to be recorded? Let's take a look at Rashi. Eilu Masi, these are the journeys. Rashi does not leave you to wonder what the question is. He spells the question out for you. Lama nichtavu. Why were these written? And truth be told, all of the answers provided are good, but not pshuta shel mikra, not the literal meaning. Not the literal meaning of Moshe Rabbeinu had to write these down. Why were they written on Masoyes Halal of these journeys? So Rashi says something a little bit similar to the Sefarno, although the Sefarno emphasizes the zechut, the merit of the Jewish people. Rashi says it's much more important on a literal level to say that this was lahidia, to make known chasodov shomaken, not the merits of the people, but rather the kindness of God. Sha'af al pi shegazer aleihem, that even though God had decreed l'taltalam ulahaniyam b'midbar, that they would be moved throughout the desert, dragged throughout the desert for 4 decades. As it says, that you would be here for 40 years and your children will come to the land of Israel. Then you cannot say, or you should not say, that they must have been literally dragged from place to place without a day of respite or any kind of serenity or peace. Kol arba'im shana, all 40 years. After all, it was a punishment, and punishments are not fun. So if they did the wrong thing, and they earned God's enmity, and they were going to get harsh consequences, so you would say, consequences are painful. They went through the desert. They didn't have a day's rest. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu writes it down. Oftentimes when you don't have it written down, or it isn't clear, looking back at something, history, it looks much bigger than it is, much more daunting. It was endless journeys. Really, endless journeys? Let's write the journeys down. Let's see how endless they were. Let's go through the details. Let's talk about each place, where they came and where they arrived. We'll talk about the next point of departure. We'll talk about that journey itself. And when you put it all together, say, you know what? That wasn't half bad. Somehow, over 40 years, with all the stories and the rebelliousness, it sounded like it was endless, but actually it wasn't. Now, Sefarno says this is about the merits of the Jewish people. The merits of the Jewish people? What, getting the Torah is not good enough? Going out of Mitzrayim is not a good enough merit? I'm not so sure that this broadcasts the merits of the Jewish people more so than the major events that preceded it and ultimately our being here. That in and of itself speaks of our merits. Ramban tells us that it's about miracles of surviving in the desert. No, we have a Yom Tov for this. It's called Sukkot. And in general, we have a mitzvah to tell the story of the Exodus. And if you tell the story of the Exodus, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the night of Pesach, you go through the whole Dayenu, all the way till coming to Eretz Yisrael, all the way till the idea of the Chapra Kol Avinaseinu. So, and anyway, this wasn't the first plan. That wasn't what it was supposed to be. Initially, we were supposed to leave the land of Egypt and come directly to Eretz Yisrael. And that would not have been a diminishment of miracles if that happened. It wouldn't have been as if, that's all, just a year. At best, 30, 40 years. Now you're talking, that's a journey. This is impressive. That's a miracle. If this whole book would have been left out, if you wouldn't have had the journeys, it would have been just fine. That the Torah would have to say that if you come to this place, you can make the bracha. It's also somewhat far-fetched on a literal level. Because that's the way you have to have entire psukim just so we should be able to make a bracha. And anyway, over time, these places were lost, and they do not have lasting value. But from Rashi's perspective, there is something very specific that has to be told. It's not a general tale about merits of the Jewish people. It's not just about the overarching idea and ideal that there were miracles. But there's something very specific. And it actually comes on the heels of the previous parsha. Because when Bnei Godim de Ruvain wanted to remain in Evra Yarden, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "You gotta be kidding! The last generation tried that. Did you remember what happened? They were dragged to the desert for 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to impress upon them that this was an onerous and difficult punishment. Please, let's not go there. So now you just read that and say, wow, so onerous, so difficult. God really worked us over. Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, you know, I said that. I kind of threatened you. I was not happy about your idea. But truth be told, it wasn't even so bad. It wasn't even so bad. And that broadcast Hashem's kindness. So even when we know we did the wrong thing, and even when we have to suffer the consequences, Hashem's kindness is still evident. Because Shaharei, Ein Kan Elo Arboim Vishtayim Asos. When you count it all up, you do a final tally, you got 42 journeys. Subtract 14 journeys, which were in the first year prior to sending the scouts and having this consequence leveled against them. When they left Ramses back in Egypt, until they came to a place called Risma, it was from that location that the scouts were sent. Shenemar, as it says, Va'achar nosu ha'omechatzeres. And then the nation journeyed forth from Chatzeres. And it says they camped in the Paran desert. And only there do we come to Parshas Shlach Lecha Anoshim, send for us people, and they will scout out the land. V'kan hu'aymer. And here he says, Va'yisu mechatzeres, Va'yachenu berisma. They journeyed from Chatzeres, and they camped in Risma. So before, we know they left Chatzeres and they camped in the Paran desert. We don't get coordinates. We don't know where in the Paran desert. But here we say specifically, Ve'yachnu mechatzeres, and where did they camp? They left Chatzeres and they camped. They settled in Risma. So since we know specifically they settled in Risma, L'madata, this teaches us, Shehi b'midbar Paran. It must be in the Paran desert. So earlier we alluded in broad terms to a Paran desert, but here we know the exact coordinates, the specific spot in the Paran desert where we camped. And that makes it known that there was only 14 journeys before we even sent scouts. Ah, so 42 journeys minus 14. What are we left with now? 28 journeys. Now let's do some more math over here. More mathematics, as they say. More subtraction. From the 28, and there were 8 journeys after the passing of Ara. And that was at Hor HaHor, in Arvas Moav, in the plains of Moab. And that was already Bishnas Arboim, in the 40th year. In the 40th year, it was basically over. The last of the Meraglim, the last of the bad generation who followed the Meraglim, died a short 2 weeks after, 15 days after Aaron had passed on. On Tu B'Av, we knew it was over, no more death. Right? Tisha B'Av, they used to die. Tu B'Av was over, we knew that it's over. So just 2 weeks after Aaron's passing, it was already done. We knew that the journeys were done, the punishment was done. Nimtza comes out. Shakol Shmeino Shleishim Shana. That the whole 38 years, Leinasu Ela Eser Masois. 20 journeys. 38 years, still wasn't fun, but not terrible. This is all based on the exposition of a great preacher whose name was Rabbi Moshe. Zeh miyaseidei shel Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rashi will oftentimes lean on Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan in order to elucidate and clarify the meaning of the verses. Now Rashi says, having taught you one way, let me share another way. Rabbi Tanchuma, but the sage of the Mishnah, Rabbi Tanchuma, Dorash Beidrosha Acheres, he expounds this very differently. He says, Moshal HaMelech Shaya B'nei Chayla, the metaphor here would be a royal who had a sick child. And they had to go on a distant journey in order for him to be healed. So they went, and they had got healed, and now they're returning home. So Aviv Meina Kala Masais. Now the father starts to speak to the child and says, remember we went here? Remember the difficulty we experienced? Remember the pain we had? Remember how you weren't feeling well? Amale, he said, Kan Yeshanano, here we slept. Well, another version of that is, Yashavnu, here we settled. In other words, here we spent some time. That was nice. Remember your stuff? Checked out the scenes. We had a relaxing time. Kanu Karno. Here it wasn't so comfortable. Here you were cold. Here you were uncomfortable. Kam Chashashta Bereshcha. Here you actually got really sick. Here you got violently ill. And so on and so forth. And in doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as if telling the Jewish people all of the nice things that he did. He's reviewing the journeys so that they understand how it was that the people left the land of Egypt and came towards the land of Eretz Yisrael. So we have two narratives as to what this is about. One is, it's about the Jewish people discovering that although Moshe Rabbeinu spoke of consequences, really and truly, they weren't that bad. Another is that this is a review. Hashem, in his love for us, is now reviewing the journey. Remember one year? And you remember that happened. And then you remember something else happened. And now we're celebrating because you're healthy and everything worked out. That's what it's about. Let's go to page Rishlam, Days in the Biurim. The Rebbe gives us a beautiful analysis of these two narratives. The many narratives of our journeys. So the Rebbe begins with a question. Here's a question. Why does Rashi have to spend time after teaching you about the drasha of Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan, which he believes to be the primary, that's why it's first. And then Rashi adds the words, Rabbi Tanchum Dorash by drasha acheres. But Rabbi Tanchum expounded this differently. Why did you have to say Rabbi Tanchum expounded it differently? Is it not clear and obvious that we speak here about two different explanations? It's two narratives. Two ways of understanding why the journeys were transcribed and written for posterity. It's not the same thing. In other words, had Rashi not written those words, Rabbi Tanchum Dorash Boy Drosha Acheres, he just would have said, Rabbi Tanchum Dorash! Or Rabbi Tanchum Dorash Boy, Rabbi Tanchum expounded the words like this. Right? That's not unusual. Rashi will do that on occasion. If he needs or feels the need to bring more than one narrative, because for whatever reason the question in Pshuta Shel Mikra isn't fully answered or fully satisfied with one answer or one narrative or one explanation, so he'll bring another explanation. Why does Rashi have to say, Rabbi Tanchum, oh, he had a totally different approach. This brings an explanation. He said, this is from Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan. And Rabbi Tanchum said like this. What's the emphasis on Dorash Boy? Drosha Acheres. Another exposition. A different kind of exposition. Another approach. What does that do for us? Superfluous words, or so it would seem. Kedei lahashiv al kach. In order to understand why Rashi added those words. Aleinu lahagdim ulevayir. We first have to preface and better explain Kavanas Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan, the meaning of Rabbi Moshe's words, which are based on four important words. The whole explanation is based on four words. What's the four words?
Lahodia,
to make known. So you know that the answer is, why were these journeys told? To make known. Make known what?
Chasdei
Shel Makom. Kindness of God. This is about lahaydiyah, this is about broadcasting, making known, showing us, teaching us. Chasdei Shel Makom. Kindness of God. B'seif ha-parsha akademis, in the end of the previous parsha, misuper al bekoshas b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, we read of, as I mentioned before, the narrative of b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, who came with a request from Moshe. They said, can we live here? Can we not go into Israel proper? We'd like to remain on the other side of the Jordan River. A bakasha, a request, shehivia ledivrei techocha shel Moshe, a request that earned them a tongue lashing. Moshe Rabbeinu really gave it to them. So much so that he went and compared their request with the Meraglim. He said, you're as bad as the Meraglim. I can't believe what you want. Do you know what happened to them? Do you know that they it was decreed they should remain for 40 years in the desert? Right? What was the words of Moshe? You gotta be kidding!
This is exactly what they did last time. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael. And the anger of God flared forth against the Jewish people. Vayaniim b'midbar arba'im shana. And they were dragged to the desert for 40 years. Vahine, and now kamtem tachas aviseichem tarbus anashem uchatoyim. A whole new generation of rotten attitudes has grown under my very nose. I can't believe this. The same story all over again. They said, no, Moshe, it's not us. That's not what this is about. We love Israel. We want to be tethered to Israel. We want to fight for Israel. We're not ignoring Israel. We just want to be here too. We're not spurning the land of Israel. Now, how do you think the Jewish people felt after getting that tongue lashing from Moshe, even if it wasn't directed towards all of them? It couldn't have felt good when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and compares you to the arch villains of our nation. He says, you're the guys who messed things up last time. No, we're not. But we just got the comparison. So Dvarim Elu Shal Moshe Urdu Belev Bnei Yisrael Chashash Shad Dvarim Yachzru Al Atzmam. The Jewish people began to think, last time it was just 10 of us who dropped the ball and we all foolishly listened, agreed, and suffered. And now we have two tribes who are dropping the ball. Can you imagine what's going to happen now? Oy vey. God's going to take it out of us. We're going to be dragged to the desert for 80 years now. Lachain. Therefore, nichtav kana masois. Immediately the journeys are written. Moshe says, stop. He saw right away the people are getting nervous. What will Hashem tell us now? Nothing. I want to tell you something. What? What will Moshe say now? He says, I want to make known chasod of Shalmaket. I want to tell you about God's kindness. Sha'afilu b'shas ha'gzeira. Even at a time when we really deserve to be punished. We really earned that punishment. Nobody can argue with that. Nonetheless, ishtad l'kadosh baruch hu k'chol ha'efsher. God did everything possible. La'aseh sebnei yisrael chesed. To do with us? Kindness. Limnoya mehen mitiltulam mutarim, to restrain, to hold back from them unnecessary burden. And therefore, Yechilim bnei Yisrael liyasmuchim abetuchim, the Jewish people can breathe easy. Nothing bad's gonna happen. They thought, you set God off, and that's it. We have to walk on eggshells now. And we were supposed to be walking on a tightrope. And supposed to be following exactly what Hashem said. And now, two tribes blew it. And now Hashem is going to come back at us. My sister, what are you talking about? What do you think, Hashem is out to get you? What do you think, he's so demanding, he's so exacting? He doesn't, even when you deserve to be punished, he didn't even punish you that much. When you deserved all the consequences, they weren't all that onerous. 20 journeys in 40, in 38 years. Therefore, relax. It's not as if you step out of line. All of a sudden, it's bald. The whole decree comes right back. From these words comes out, according to the Mesha, what was the reason that we needed the narrative? Why do we need the details of this journey? Who was Mesha addressing? Who had the need? New generation that was worried that the same thing will happen to them all over again. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu addressing? A new generation. Why? Because they would be afraid we're going to suffer. Dor Haknisa La'aretz. This is the generation that's about to enter the land of Israel that now is starting to think, here we go again. Now we're going to be prevented. Moshe said, relax, you're not prevented from anything. He wanted lahafig mehem esach shoshes. He wanted to kind of mollify them. He wanted to calm them. He wanted to tell them your suspicions are unwarranted. Unnecessary. Even when they earned the punishment, it wasn't too terrible. When you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to be afraid of. Now, repeating the journeys is not to broadcast Hashem's kindness, but rather, let's review where we've been. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about our experiences. Let's talk about first we came to one place, then we came to the next place. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to? Who's he talking to?
Generation.
Which generation?
A new generation.
No, he's not talking to the new generation. How could he tell them, Kan chashashta asreishcha? He Here you were sick. The new generation says, we? We weren't even born. Which generation is he speaking to? The generation that left Mitzrayim. The generation of children, not the older, the majors didn't make it. Everybody was 20, is finished. But the children that left Mitzrayim, they remember this well. This is their childhood. They grew up with this. Maybe Mitzrayim they didn't remember well. They remember those journeys well. So
Moshe Rabbeinu
now.
Talking about the second and the third generation?
We're talking about the first generation. According to Rabbi Moshe Darshan, who is Moshe addressing? The new generation. According to Rabbi Tanchum, who is Moshe Rabbeinu addressing? The old generation. It's a different narrative. It's a different narrative. Hadersha Avraham Asois, the generation that actually went through those journeys. She'elov Misyachsim Abitui. To them could be applied the expression Kan Yeshanu. Here we spent the night. Kanu karnu, oi, here we were so cold. Kan chashasta shreishcha. Bezui asiba, this is the reason that Rashi has to preface and begin with the words, epitanchom, drosha by drosha acheres. It's not a different, a nuanced, changed narrative. Epitanchom had a whole different story. Rabbi Moshe Darshan says Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing a new generation. Rabbi Tanchum says he's addressing an old generation. It's a drosha acheres. It's a totally different approach. Shtei droshes shekol achas mem. We have two ways of understanding this in Pshuta Shel Mikra. Each one has a totally different direction and different recipients intended. Hen miyuah demufla lekahalacha. They're directed towards a different congregation, if you will, a different segment of the population. And the Rebbe goes on to say, what's the thing of Yashashnu, Hukarnu, and Chashashta Esreishcha? He says, the first journey when they left Ramses, they came to Sukkos, he says, here we rested. You thought we're going to Israel in one day? He said, no, here we rested, relax. Then, he said, the next thing was, we came, went from Sukkos to where? Hashem surrounded us with clouds of glory. Why? Because we were uncomfortable. Kanu Karnu, here we got cold. Here the weather changed, it got really boiling hot. Hashem cooled us down. He brought in the clouds. And then here we really felt sick. Where was that? When we camped at the Reed Sea. Oy, did we feel sick there. Hashem took care of you there. And that's just the beginning, the first three journeys. And so it is that each place, Moshe Rabbeinu reassures the people, remember what happened here, remember what happens there. And in doing so, he gives the people a sense of courage and a sense of comfort, and they're ready to move forward, buoyed by the notion that Hashem cared about them, fortified with the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chasodav, that Hashem's kindnesses will always go along with us, and don't be fearful of the future. What did they say? The future is friendly, he said. It's all going to be fine. And it was. And now we read these journeys, and we hope that just like Kan Yeshanenu, and Kan Ukarnu, and Kan Chashasta Esreishcha, that Emetz Hashem very soon will be in the final journey into Eretz Yisrael HaShleima, with the coming of Mashiach, and Hera will be amazing.
That is so beautiful.